with God, not because they're good people, but because they put their faith in Jesus. We know, all right, as Christians, that we're made right with God, not because of anything we've done, not because we're good people, but because we've put our faith in Jesus. Now, what is it then that God wants from you and me? Well, he doesn't want us to abuse his grace, nor does he want us to try and earn his grace. Instead, he wants us to remember what took place at our baptism. He wants us to remember what took place at our baptism. Do you remember? Let's just think about this for a moment. Do you remember what took place at your baptism? I grew up Catholic, and so I was sprinkled as an infant. And so I obviously, when I look back at that initial transaction or what transpired at that time, however you want to say that, I obviously can't remember that. The fact is that was more of a dedication than a baptism. It was my parents doing the best they knew how, essentially, until I could be baptized. And right now you may be asking, well, when then are children and youth and adults supposed to be baptized? Well, they're supposed to be baptized when they have a clear understanding of what Jesus did for them on the cross, right? Someone is ready to be baptized when they have a clear understanding of what Jesus did for them on the cross. As soon as they understand his death and his burial and his resurrection, they're ready. Ready to do what? Not only get baptized, but to leave their life of sin behind. What do we know about someone who gets baptized? Someone who gets baptized is serious about living for Jesus. If you get baptized here, normally, right after service, we go down the road to the river here, right behind Gunderson Lutheran Clinic, and we go out in the river, and it's usually cold, and I put you down under that water, and your friends, your family's here, and it's public, and everybody's watching, and so if you're going to do all that, you're serious, right? You're making a commitment. You're serious about living for Jesus. And so someone who does this isn't going to keep on sinning. In other words, they're not going to abuse his grace. So let's jump right in here to Romans chapter 6 and unpack this a little further in verse 1 through 4. And the Apostle Paul says this, well then, should we keep on sinning? Should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? He says, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? When I put you under the water, it's a picture of you being buried. It's a picture of you dying to your old life. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, as I raise you up out of the water, it's a picture of you being raised to new life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may what? Live new lives. Let's talk about this new life, living this new life. What is this new life all about? It's about who you're united with, Jesus. This new life that we're talking about today, it's about who you're united with, Jesus. What happens when you realize you're united with Jesus? What happens when you realize been united with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. You're not going to abuse that grace, take advantage of it, nor are you going to try to earn it. Instead, you're going to rest in it. Why? Because you've been set free. Let's continue on here in verse 5. Paul says that since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. The transformation has taken place in our lives, in our hearts. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. What does this mean, to be set free from the power of sin? What does that mean? Well, you know what it means? It means we no longer live for ourselves, right? To be set free from the power of sin means we no longer live for ourselves. We have a greater calling, a greater purpose in life, and that's to live for Jesus. Continuing on, verse 8. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. We live for the glory of God. That's why we live. So you guys, some of us live to go boating, fishing, golfing. Right? We live for the glory of God. Right? So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do you consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin? Do you consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin? I don't think most or many so-called Christians do. A lot of people will say they're a Christian, but they're probably not. It's almost like a default in our society to be, oh, I'm a Christian, right? Well, what are you? Oh, I'm a Christian, right? Really? And yet they don't act any different from anyone else out there today in society. Now, I consider myself to be dead to the power of sin. I consider myself to be dead to the power of sin. However, sometimes I still let it control the way that I live. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, I give in to sinful desires. I, in other words, do things I know I shouldn't do. How about an example? Well, maybe I linger a little bit longer on my Yahoo homepage. Why? Because so-and-so just turned 40 this week, and they took a picture in their bikini, and the temptation is, well, there's this little square box, and I got to see what they look like now that they've turned 40. Okay. I turned 47 this week, so I'm getting older myself. Right, the temptation is there, so don't click on the box, but it is there. What did Paul have to say about this? In verse 12, he says this, don't let sin control the way you live. Now that you've given your life to Jesus, don't go there. Don't let it control the way that you live. Don't give in. Do not give in to sinful desires. Don't click on that picture. Don't do that thing. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, right? Before you came to know Christ, you were a dead man walking. But now you have new life, so use talking about some deep stuff here today, right? The book of Romans is it's deep, right? And so it causes us to think about some things. So stay with me. Don't drift off. At one point in time, I lived under the requirements of the law. At one point in time, I lived under the requirements of the law. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that I thought being a Christian was all about being a good person. That's essentially what it means. I thought being a Christian was all about being a good person. If I just made any type of effort, God would be pleased with me. Right? However, God is not pleased with me based on what I do, based on my effort. When is it that God is pleased with me? When I put my faith in Jesus. That's when God's pleased with me. It's not based on my performance. It's not based on what I do. It's when I put my faith in Jesus. Why? Because this demonstrates that I'm trusting in Him and not in myself. Now that I'm trusting in Him and not in myself, does this mean I'm free to do whatever I want to do? Paul says, no. Let's continue on, verse 15. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, free from worrying about being a good person, free from the Ten Commandments, does that mean we can just go on sinning now that we've been set free? He says, of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? He says, you can be a slave to sin. You can keep doing those things, right? You can click on those pictures or go to those places or drink that stuff or whatever it is, which leads to death. Or you can choose, now you have a choice, before you didn't have one. Now you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, he says, once you were slaves of sin, that's all you did, that's all you thought about. But now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. You're free from your slavery to sin, and you've become slaves to righteous living, doing what's right. What's my fear? My fear is that too many Christians are still living in slavery to sin. Why? Because they haven't fully embraced what Christ has done for them. What has He done for them? What has He done for you and me? Well, He set us free from the sin that we struggle with. Right? He has set us free, right, from the sin that we struggle with. What does this mean? What does this mean? We now have the ability to break free from what is holding us back. His Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit living inside of us, gives us the ability from the things that are holding us back to break free from those things. But this reminds me of a baby elephant. A baby elephant. As a baby, the elephant is tied to, and maybe you've heard this before, to a stake with a rope. And as a baby, this elephant can't break free. You can't break free. However, as an adult, the elephant could easily break free. But he doesn't even try. Why? Because he has been conditioned to believe he can't. Here's the thing. Apart from Christ, apart from Jesus, we're weak. We're weak. What does this weakness lead to? Sin. When we try to do life without Christ, I don't need Jesus. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need Him. When we try to do life without Christ, we're going to be living worship them. Our minds will become consumed with them, and our hearts will go to them. However, now that we know Christ, now that we know Jesus, we're not going to give ourselves to those things. We're not going to be sucked into those things and allow them to take over our lives so that we're obsessed and consumed with the things of this world. Instead, we're going to do what's right. Why? So that we will become holy. Listen to what Paul says, verse 19. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness. Yep. Which led ever deeper into sin. Yep. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living. Why? So that you will become holy. Before I became a Christian, before I gave my heart and my life to Jesus, I did whatever I wanted to do. I did whatever I wanted to do. Why? Because I wasn't under any obligation to do what was right. I wasn't under any obligation to do what was right. What was the result of doing whatever I wanted to do with my life and my time and go wherever I wanted to go? Shame. I'm ashamed of some of the things I used to do. Perhaps you are too. You're like, yeah, I can think back to some of the things I did in my life, maybe even yesterday. And I can't believe I did that, or I can't believe I said that, or I can't believe I went there, or thought that, or whatever it might be. Well, you don't have to be anymore. Why? Because Paul says God has taken away that shame. In other words, God forgives you. On top of that, the things that used to control you no longer have to control you. You've been set free. Maybe you don't realize it because you've been conditioned to believe you can't, but you can. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You now have the power to break free and overcome whatever it is that's holding you back. You're now a slave of God, right? You used to be a slave to that other stuff, but now you're a slave of God. What does being a slave of God lead to? Holiness. Holiness. The path you and me were on led to death, right? The path we were on, it was leading to death. We were going down the wrong road. Now the path that we're on leads to eternal life. Paul says it like this. Romans 6:20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do. Things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness. Now you think differently about things, right, than you used to before. And you do the things that lead to holiness and result in what? Eternal life. You're going in a different direction into a different place. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's a question for you. What's the best gift you ever received apart from Christ? Well, what's the best gift you ever received apart from Christ? For me, it was the Bible I received from my parents on my 18th birthday. I still remember on my 18th birthday getting that Bible thinking this is the worst gift I could ever receive. I literally thought that in my mind. I thought, what is an 18-year-old boy supposed to do with a Bible? But I'm 18. I've arrived. I am cool. And my parents gave me a book. Boca Raton, Florida. And there I got a job in that town, in that city, and started going to a campus there, Florida Atlantic University, to volunteer and help with campus ministry. And I met the campus pastor there, and his name was Tim. And I said, "Tim, I got this book. It's called the Bible. And I'm helping you with the kids, and it's kind of fun. But I've never really read this book. Oh, maybe I've opened it up and read a verse here or there or pulled something out of it. But I don't even know where to start." And he said, "Well, you start with the book of Romans." And I said, "Well, can you help me understand it?" He said, "Sure, I want you to read it 3 times this next week. And then come back and we'll discuss it." And I went home and I thought, man, this is a long book to read 3 times in 1 week. 16 chapters, but I did. I read all 16 chapters and I did it 3 times that week. And we came back and we discussed it. And God began to move in my heart. He began to change me from the inside out. Why am I telling you all this? Because this is when I really started to mature as a Christian. This is when I really started to grow, when I got into the Word of God. What do mature believers know? What do mature believers know? They know they cannot live without the Word of God. Right? Monica and Eden are in Tennessee right now. My babies are gone. The house is quiet. It's a little lonely. And sometimes I get depressed. I get discouraged. You know, when I read, when I get discouraged, you've heard me say this before, the book of Ecclesiastes. Every time I'm down or discouraged about life, that's the book I read. And I'll typically read all 12 chapters in one sitting. And when I'm done, I just feel better about things. Right? I just have a different perspective because Solomon reminds me, everything is meaningless, completely meaningless. It doesn't matter, right? Eat, drink, and enjoy your life, right? Be happy. It encourages me. It picks me up. Jesus said, "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." As Christians, what do we live off of? We don't live off of the stuff everybody else lives off of today. We live off of God's word. This is what we feed off of. What happens when we don't spend time alone with God in His Word? When we don't spend time alone with God in His Word, what happens? We don't mature as believers. We don't mature as Christians. This was a huge problem in the church in Corinth, and it's a huge problem in our churches today. Do you remember what Paul had to say to those in Corinth? Let's look here real quick. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I couldn't talk to you as though you were mature. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world, as though you were infants, as though you were immature. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food." Why? Because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world when you act this way? As soon as I get out of God's word, as soon as I don't spend time with Him, I act just like those people. Right? How do we make sure that what happened to those in Corinth doesn't happen to us? That we don't act like one of those people where we're jealous and quarreling and arguing with people and fighting? By getting in His Word. What do we know about the Word of God? Paul said this to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16. Well, this is good. I love these verses. "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives." Right? It teaches us what is true. God's word is truth. Right? And it helps us, makes us realize place where everyone is known and loved. To create a place where everyone is known and loved. What's our strategy to help people pursue intimacy with God? That's why I talk about the Word of God every week. It's one of our core values, the Word of God. I want to help you pursue intimacy with God. I want to do everything I can to encourage you to get into the Bible and read it. Community with insiders. Right? I challenged even Tyler this last week. Right? As people come in the door, I want you to connect with them. Right? Find out what they're doing. Ask them if they're willing to join some families this summer, two or three families, and do a picnic with them. Like, to get to know them. To bond together. Because Solomon says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We need brothers and sisters in Christ who can encourage us, sharpen us, push us, drive us to become better. And as we grow in intimacy with God, community with each other, we'll influence those around us in our society, here in Decorah and beyond. A mature believer will work on developing in all of these areas, in intimacy with God, community with brothers and sisters, and influence with people around them. That's what this series is all about. Right? How do we mature as believers? Maybe you're here this morning, you said, I don't know that I've been marked yet. I don't know that I've put my faith in Jesus. I'm still trying to live my life as a good person. I'm still putting myself under the requirements of the law, under the Ten Commandments, believing that if I just do a little bit better, try a little bit harder, God will be pleased with me. And I keep falling short. You know why you keep falling short? Because you don't have the Spirit living in you. You haven't given in your heart. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I don't remember when I was baptized. I don't remember that time. And I realize I need to be baptized. Well, you know what? The summer's here. The water may not be warm down there yet. But you'll remember it. I don't think that you won't forget. And you're like, Ed, I need to be baptized. I know that's what God wants me to do. But you know what? We can do it next Sunday, any Sunday this summer. You tell me when you want to do it, when your family or friends can be here, and we will celebrate, right? The death, burial, resurrection of Christ and you being united with Him. What area do you need to mature and grow in? Because we're here to help you. We're here together to work on this. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful. It's convicting. It shows us what's wrong in our lives and teaches us what is true and where we need to go. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, Ed, I see where I'm at is not where I need to be. I see that every time I open up God's word. If you're like me, it leads you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer. A prayer that you make personal as you softly and quietly repeat these words in your heart after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I'm a Christian, but there's some areas that I've just begun to stray. I haven't been pursuing intimacy with God. I haven't been spending time with Him in His Word. Or I haven't been connecting with people. Or I don't know that I'm influencing people around me in a positive way.